2023, of course. And life is just so somehow. On the US side, of course, US is still doing this crazy thing. Hasn't done anything about gun control. If you don't want to start there. You know, Biden is just misbehaving up and down. Obviously, Black History Month has finished. And I believe the government is now trying to figure out debt ceiling and stuff like that because the government won't be able to pay its bills. The speaker agreed he would not raise the debt ceiling and he would essentially not take money out of Medicare and Medicaid. And I believe also Social Security, which essentially is next to impossible to do. So I'm curious to how the US is going to figure out the situation. On top of that, interest rates are expected to rise again. And so that whole situation is one thing. On the Canada side, Trudeau is doing his thing. I believe he just announced some $5.5 million spending to investigate some disinformation from China or some with CSIS. Also announced some spending he was going to do for Black people affected through COVID for mental health. And you're just like, Canada, what are you doing? No, like, what's going on? And of course, the topic of this episode, Nigeria, my country, did its own election. And I'm just like, now, if you notice, I posted nothing about the whole situation. I didn't even interact with people who were talking about Obi and obedience and those kind of things. I was home in December. And of course, you could feel on the ground the excitement that was Obi, especially if you're in Lagos. So seeing that he won Lagos isn't surprising. The turnout, though, is rather surprising. I think a lot of younger people came out and voted, as we saw on social media. The interesting thing now is, how is it that Nigeria had such a low turnout when it seemed like this election was the most charged? So it is possible, if not probable, that there was a lot of voter suppression. Because it just seemed like, in general, as a whole, the country was tired of the Buhari situation and wanted to get it right. So if in this kind of environment, Nigeria still gets in low voter turnout, I don't know that there will ever be an opportunity where there will be high voter turnout. Like, I believe if I remember correctly, it was in the 30s, the percentage relative to how many people were eligible to vote. So it could simply have been people who didn't pick up their PVCs, or people who just couldn't be bothered, or people who were just suppressed by the time they went to the ballot. So from whatever number it was, I believe it was around 90-something million people who were eligible to vote and registered, all the way down to what's the winning tally that was announced, and it being like 8 million votes. Like, the ratios didn't make sense. So Tinubu got 8 million, Obi got 6 million, Atiku got 6 million. And those were like the top three candidates. The rest of them could not together have gone beyond 40 mil, if not 30 mil. So how another 60 million Nigerians who were eligible to vote across the country didn't bother but were interested enough to register, it just seems wild. But again, that's one side of it. The other side of it now is, of course, you know, people who are the obedient believe that Peter Obi should have won, and he does as well, and he's taking it to court. Keep in mind, for context, that Peter Obi has a history of following due process, especially in Anambra State, where he was he won through appeals court, demonstrating that he was the rightful candidate on the ballot or the rightful elect, the governor-elect. Waited 3 years, which is however long, you know, courts take, and eventually through due process won. He would then go up again and run and win. Within that time, he would then be impeached and he would rightfully go to court again to demonstrate he was wrongly, you know, impeached. So this guy clearly follows Nigeria's legal system to the letter. So I'm not worried about the due process he will follow. The people I'm typically worried about are the ones who clearly do not give a damn about due process or even the ethical look of things. For context, Bat, and you know his name, the guy who's been announced as the winner, on record has paid $460,000, I believe it was 1994 or 92, I'm not sure which was which, but he paid this money to the US government in lieu of accepting charges for, I believe it was narcotics. Essentially, it was illegal gains gotten from narcotics. Now, you would imagine that regardless of the time frame, someone like that should never be allowed into public office. But this man has actually gone on to win Senate, gone on to win governorship of Lagos, and now presidency of Lagos. So I'm not worried again about the winning of the presidency. It's just this guy clearly doesn't give a damn. He's going to do whatever the needful is and move on. He also is the owner of the Lekki Conservative Center or whatever thing where the tollgate situation happened. And of course, a lot of NSAR's protests were around that thing, which he owns, which, by the way, is also a problem of mine, because how is it that a privatized road, like, I don't remember, and again, it doesn't matter whether it's legal or not, because I do not know the legality of Nigerian constitution as to how you can privatize a public road and just essentially fine it, right? You're just like, okay, we're going to assign you this strip of road, but you can tax it as much as you like and as little as you like to the extent that you desire. That, to me, I'm still not sure. And again, I'm not a legal scholar in Nigeria, so I might be wrong. But it does not appear to me that Nigeria has a culture. And again, this is now me just arguing based on like the optics of it. It doesn't appear to me that Nigeria has a culture of like toll roads. In the past, there were other roads that have been tolled. But most of those tolls have either failed or just been dismantled entirely. So it's not the first time Nigeria has had a toll. It's just, it is essentially one that has gone this long for as long as it's gone. And if you think about it, in all of Lagos, the only place that this could probably have succeeded in my eyes was that it was around Lekki. Because obviously, if you have the means to overcome it, it is a small tax to pay to have a good road, right? Like if you're going to keep the road very well and nice and whatever. And again, there's an argument being made whether the road is kept in tip-top shade or not, but it seems okay, right? So if the richer people who can afford the tolls are paying it, then it's fine. I can't imagine this thing succeeding anywhere else in Lagos. Like, you want to put this in Oshodi? You want to put, like, you see what I'm saying? So in Lagos, for that to have been successful, obviously it puts in the part of Lagos that's more accepting of it. But keep in mind that the original plan was to tax that road on three separate tolls. Three separate tolls. It was reduced down to the one that is standing. And I remember vividly when the second was being constructed and eventually failed. But that second one was coming. And it was planned to be three. So my point is, Nigeria just does anyhow. And quite frankly, what are they going to do? If you also remember, like, even just like Funchal Williams getting killed in one of the safest neighborhoods in Lagos, until today, nobody knows how it happened. In an election where, again, we're not going to say he was involved or not, but Tinubu was leaving office and his anointed candidate was another. And it was expected that Funchal Williams would win. It was expected. And so naturally, when he died out of nowhere, untouched. Anyways, that's as much of Nigeria as I want to just get off my chest, because that country somehow. But anyways, let's talk about what I really want to get into, which is the trip to Nigeria, funny enough. So I went to Nigeria for 3 weeks. And of course, I did my hair in a very interesting way. And as many people know in Nigeria, if you are looking like a Yahoo boy, whether you are or not doesn't matter. This is the whole point of why NSARS even existed. And I remember a lot of people being petrified about, hey, Tolu, be careful. Hey, Tolu, be careful. And to me, I'm like, I can't imagine that I feel more safe in Canada with my hairstyle being myself than in my own country with my people. Like, that to me is mind boggling. Now, keep in mind, in the US, I can still do my hair, but I still have to fear the police, because again, as you've seen in the media, you can get shot at random and whatever will happen. Now, it does seem like America is starting to do a better job of, you know, taking police to court, and as seen as the black police officers who are now going to jail, it seems like it's becoming a thing. Seems like, but it remains to be seen in the long run. But in my own country, I have to be afraid of doing dada. I have to be afraid of doing twists, because police can think I'm doing Yahoo. And keep in mind, while I was in Nigeria, I was working in Pacific time, which was from, I believe, 6 p.m., if not 7 p.m. till about 2 a.m. in the morning. Because that lined up with my own working hours in the US. And so naturally, you need to understand the fear in my mother's eyes, my grandmother's eyes, my father. They were like, see, Tolu, please, 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 we beg you. If you can stay at the office till 5 a.m., please don't come out. Please do not come out. And to me, I understand I think part of it is, let me actually just back up. I think part of the problem with Nigeria is that people themselves are too resilient for their own good. Like, Nigerian people are way too resilient for our own good.
because we will take so much rubbish and just find a way to survive and to cope. You will just laugh it off and move on. You will just manage it and move on. Like, it won't be like a protest. Like, sure, I mean, NSAS was the first protest, but again, you just get shot. So you're just like, well, you don't do. What can we do, Abby? Like, kill a fesso. We just move on. And unfortunately, that mentality is part of the reason why Nigeria is where it is. Because those who can afford to just get out, instead of just like taking it, will leave. Like, oh, we are gone. Because why do I have to take this? The people who can do something about it are leaving. Because I'm not going to die for this country. Die and then what? Nothing will happen. They will say, oh, I can kill you and nothing will happen. And those who are not deserving of the positions and of the titles and of the benefits of Nigeria will just continue to plunder it. Like, for goodness sake, I need to understand, while I was in primary school, we learned about the Buharis, we learned about the Bola Ahmed Tinubus. Those were the people that were up on the like portraits entering any institution. How is it that I have finished primary school, I have finished junior high, senior high, undergrad, worked a few years, masters, gone back to Lagos, left, and this guy is now going to be the president for what is presumably 8 years? Are we serious, really? Like, I need you to understand that when we're growing up, there was this thing called, you know, children listen to your parents because, or parents listen to your children because we are the leaders of tomorrow or something like that. And quite frankly, even my parents are still not leaders of tomorrow. Like, let's be honest. Let's call it speed is speed. Our own parents are still not even leaders of tomorrow yet. Like, if we're being serious, our own parents are not yet leaders of tomorrow. So unless we're saying we're going to skip them, because quite frankly, we should. Like, again, I'm proposing some crazy ideas here. But like, if we're being focused in Nigeria, we actually need to skip our own parents. Because quite frankly, those guys have enabled a lot of bad behavior. Like, how is it that all this, you know, pardon my French here, bullshit has happened in this country, and those guys who were in a place to do something, say something, did nothing and just let the people above them continue to rubbish Nigeria and they were just okay? Like, what exactly is this? Like, what exactly is this? How are they, again, don't get me wrong, I'm not even here to talk about whether Obi is the right one or not. Like, that's not even the issue. But how is it that this Atiku guy has run for office since 2007, consecutively lost, and continues to run? Like, at some point, you got to give this thing up. And at some point, there has to be a better candidate. At some point. Buhari himself, he has been the actual president before as a military ruler, ran on a democratic situation multiple times, at least three, if I remember properly, and then won. And so Atiku has done the same thing again. And now Bola Ahmed himself is like, guys, come on now. Come on now. Like, sometimes I do my best not to even just think about that country. Because, like, it's just like, it's frustrating when you think about it. And just like, how is it that a lot of wealth is so centralized with a particular group, regardless of who it is, whether it's the Northerners, Southerners, Igbo, whatever. I'm talking about just like the class of it, where it's like, even within the class of them who can control and, you know, centralize power, how is it that the rest of us can just be like, I don't think that's a good idea, bro. Like, you're not useful. Like, how is it that a candidate said Mokini Yawa Emilokan, and we laughed about it, and he still got them won? How? Like, how? How can someone tell you it is my turn to be president, and as a people, we all agree, yep, it's your turn, and then we elected him? Like, based on what? Based on what exactly? Oh, I put this person in power. I supported that person. Oh, yeah, it's my turn. Do me, I do you. Is that what our country is? Like, however many million of us, 200 and something million, all of us were doing turn by turn. Not, okay, you are the most capable, you're the most competent. Okay, our country actually needs it. Like, we're not doing that. It's turn by turn. Okay, so whose turn is next then? Like, if we're doing turn. Okay, so we've done what? Buhari finally got his turn. Okay. And the South got their own turn with, what's his face? Good luck. Oh yeah, Southwest is your turn. So Tinubu is the best. Oh yeah, so who's done is next? We're going back to north again, or we're going back to south or southeast? That is that how we are doing it? Now, I understand the thing of geopolitical zoning. Like, I understand that's Nigeria's solution to the bullshit that is what the Britain mashed up and left behind. I fully get it. The amalgamation of North and Southern Protectorates just so that you could use the volume of the North to take up resources in the South. Fully get that, okay? And you want to use political zoning so that people don't fracture and another Biafra happens. Fully get that concept. But this idea that we're going to keep doing Emilukon, because quite frankly, I get it. I get that this was supposed to be a way of unifying the country. Speaking of even unifying the country, NYSE. The whole concept and the point of that thing was that we would all be unified, because then people in the South go and see people listening North, people in the North go see people in the South. Like, that was kind of the point, right? And also so that you would endear your country to you, because you would see other parts of the country that you would otherwise not see. I fully get that part too. But has NYC really done much for people other than just enable constant suffering? Like other countries, even other countries, like, you know, South Korea has this mandatory, like, military service, all those kind of things. Like, military service, I guess, like, community service makes sense. Even Israel has that, you know, where you have to not use a weapon. I believe the Swiss also have that as well, even though they are, you know, probably net neutral. But, like, I fully get that there are countries that have those kind of things. So NYC, in the concept of youth service, makes some sense. But how is it that we have just bastardized that whole thing into just suffering central? Like, we just, like, from the original, like, if you go back and watch the video of, I believe it was Yakubu Gowon who, like, has the video in black and white, where, like, the first round of, like, NYC guys were there. Speaking of, those first NYC guys obviously are our parents now. But my point is, even from then, it was a good idea, and now we just, like, rubbished it down to what we have today. And so, Nigeria as a whole, with all the geopolitical zoning, moving people back and forth, like, if something's not working, I don't know how we don't just, like, step back and say, okay, this thing is not working, let's scrap it and start again. Let's reset the whole thing. Because, like, whether it's NYSE, whether it's geopolitical zoning, whether it's Emilokan, like, all those things do not make sense anymore. And it is perfectly okay to be like, okay, how do we make a better way forward? Because clearly, in the first place, when we were doing geopolitical zoning, it was, you were supposed to have, for example, a president from one area of the country, the vice president from another area of the country, the Senate president from one area of the country, Mr. Speaker in the House of Assembly from another area of the country, so that there would be this balance and there wouldn't be any, like, you know, there would be, what's it called, like, you know, checks and balances with all areas of the country in mind. But now, with Emilokan stepping into place and also the religious tension, which was supposed to be, like, again, a Christian-Muslim ticket, all those kind of, like, bans, which in other countries, I'm not even sure that makes sense, but sure, we'll allow it because, you know, Nigeria is not a real place. If we're going to do all that in Nigeria, and it's currently not working because someone can just decide, I'm a Muslim, you're a Muslim, doesn't matter, screw all the rules, we're going to do whatever we want, and Nigerians are going to take it. Like, and it also doesn't understand. Like, even within this whole election situation, do you know that a country is out of cash? Like, how is it that my country decided months to the election, oh yeah, let us scrap all the notes that we have in circulation, we're going to give you another fresh set, and you must bring everything, with the deadline being in months' time, not in like a year time, 2 years, okay, let's do redenomination like Ghana did, where you're moving some zeros. None of that. Just like, we're going to print the same type of money, we're just going to use different colors, and everything else in the economy needs to come back into the banking system. Like, I can go on and on about stuff I saw in Nigeria. I was like, bruh, how do you do that with an election coming so close? Like, that is a recipe for disaster now. Is the policy actually going to work? It could. Is very well could, because the idea which was meant to be helped, like the whole purpose of the thing was that you would get cash that was stuck outside the economy back into the economy. So they can start doing, like, you know, a cashless policy and start getting more people banked or whatever. But in the process, you unbanked the banked. So people who already had banks, who already had accounts, you were almost like ruining the experience, which again, understandably. And it's a short-term pain, maybe for a long-term gain. Fully understand that concept too. That's not to say there's any merit. It's not as if people were just stupid and wanted to make everybody suffer. Even though, quote-unquote, sometimes I'm still not sure that Nigeria just doesn't do that sometimes. It's like, how much can we make people suffer? And just like, let's try if we do this and try to do that and just see how they'll manage. Nigeria, remember, Nigeria already had a situation with the flooding, okay? Nigeria already has the oil spillage situation in, you know, the areas where oil is, because people can't farm there anymore, they can't fish there anymore. So there's that. There's obviously, you know, some resentment towards Nigerian government in certain areas of the country, especially called Biafra, which we've still not talked about in full detail. We've not talked about civil war. Like, we don't actually even learn that. That is actually completely excluded from the Nigerian educational experience. We have, obviously, rigging in multiple places, all the Kensarawiwa rubbish, the Abacha situation, where we still haven't even apologized to all them Kensarawiwa and all of them. Like, there's just been stuff that just been piled on top of each other, and we're just like, eh, we'll manage it. And obviously, the originals, which were the British people, but again, even before the British, the Portuguese, and all the other people that tried to do colonialism. But again, we'll leave all that aside because we cannot come back to that. You know, at some point, it's just bullshit. But again, we'll come back to it another time. All these different experiences, and we're at a position in 2023 where we're just like, eh, let's just add first scarcity on top and make it normal. And then also not have cash, especially for people who can't get paid and can't make a living. Do you even remember, like, even COVID, when palliative was hidden somewhere? Like, beloved, Nigeria, my Nigeria, that's not to say other countries don't have their problems. That's not to say that. Like, racism, especially outside of Europe, is pervasive as shit. Like, everything is built on racism. Like, if you think about it long enough, like, everything is built on racism. Like, the reason why we have no trespassing rules, like, all kinds of craziness. Like, literally, even, like, do you understand that even paying tuition is, especially in North America, is almost exclusively because of racism? Like, again, we'll get into all that another time. But, like, my country, like, where, quote-unquote, racism doesn't exist, quote-unquote, it's just tribalism. Bruh. I'm like, my country, don't get me wrong, I still had a wonderful time. And maybe I'll talk about the wonderful time I had in my country with my family, my people. Because that 3 weeks of me just observing and keeping quiet and watching and monitoring, I was like, I really wish I was ignorant. I wish, like, there were moments where I was like, I wish I was ignorant. And just like, just didn't know. Because when you know, it just pains you. Like, bruh. So anyways, let's share my moral of this story. We're going to skip appearance because clearly those guys are not bothered. They're just going to manage it. And when it's their turn, we're going to bounce them because clearly they're not focused. That's moral of my story because I don't agree with this idea that, like, Emilukon is going to be fine and then the next person is going to be what? An obedient. Okay, fine. Obedient is going to do something about it. Sure, he's going to follow the rule of law, which is fine. But after him, then what? And especially all the other people that are like him, going to follow rule of law, playing against people who do not. Man. I mean, and I'm not saying we need to do anything radical, like, okay, go and kill all of them. I mean, I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. If that's not what I'm saying. But at some point, man, like, I can't keep feeling like I was in primary school. Like, why is Bola Ahmed Tinubu still a relevant name in Nigerian politics? Like, people should retire. He should move on. Same thing with Trump in the US. Same thing with Biden even. He should just go and retire somewhere. Because this generation of people who refuse to let go of power and just consolidate it worldwide, like, this is a phenomenon worldwide. All of them just continue to hold on to power and not do anything useful with it in terms of helping other people and just, like, consolidating their own wealth. They all need to go. They gotta go. Like, sure, they may have good ideas, but their time has passed. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll catch you in the next one. Peace.